Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat met with Austrian leaders today in his first visit to a Western country since the U.S. decision to open a dialogue with PLO officials. Arriving in Vienna, Arafat told reporters Israel should drop its refusal to meet the PLO and join U.N.-sponsored peace talks.
Mr. Arafat, how do you hope to bring the Israelis into the peace process?
Through the United Nations and through the support of all the countries or the leaders who are looking for to achieve real, just peace in the Middle East.
Are you surprised by the Israeli reaction so far, or is it more or less what you expected?
Yeah, I was expecting this, but sooner or later they will discover that peace is more important for them than anything else.
While Israeli officials remain adamant in their refusal to deal with the PLO, saying it's still intent on destroying the Jewish state, some are not as critical as Prime Minister Shamir of the change in American policy. Today, for example, in a letter to Secretary of State Schultz, Foreign Minister Peres described the U.S. move as, at best, premature. Time on the roundup, minute and a half past the hour.
When they say land the plane, that's what you think of. Land. But this is where the Navy works. At sea. And landing on a flat top in the open sea is something else again. You're going for a runway that's a moving target, rising and falling 30 feet on every wave. You're on the meatball. You're closing fast. You hit the deck at 150 miles per hour and stop in 200 feet. Do it right, and you get to do it all again. It's a tough test for a pilot. A punishing test for airplanes and the complex electronics they carry. But this is where the Navy has to work. And this is where Northrop works.
In Soviet Armenia today, planes will evacuate another 4,500 women and children to the Crimean resort of Anapa. By midweek, according to Pravda, only men involved in the reconstruction will remain in the earthquake zone. We get more from Jonathan Sanders in Moscow.
During the last 24 hours, no one was found alive in the debris left by the Armenian earthquake. Cold continues to punish survivors, so now evacuation efforts are moving into high gear. 8,000 people were taken out of the affected area yesterday. Foreign rescue crews are being thanked and sent home. The authorities are trying to clear this devastated parts of Armenia of everyone. Everyone except those involved in the cleanup and reconstruction activities. Hope still lingers of finding a few more people trapped under collapsed buildings. In the first 10 days after the quake, rescuers dug out more than 15,000 people alive. Now chances are slim. In Armenia, the words on everyone's lips are, "We must hurry." Jonathan Sanders, CBS News, Moscow.
Exhausted American relief workers returned home from Armenia yesterday, carrying with them indelible images of death and destruction.
It's worse than you can imagine. It's like Armageddon. It's like the end of the world.
At least 60 to 80% of the buildings literally fell down or were so structurally damaged, that they can't be used anymore. It's just, the damage was incredible.
One of Soviet leader Gorbachev's foreign policy goals is an improvement in Soviet relations with Japan. Today, his foreign minister, Edward Shevardnadze, began his first visit to Tokyo in 3 years. Richard Wagner reports.
Meeting today in Tokyo with Japanese Foreign Minister Uno, Shevardnadze said he wanted to open a new chapter in relations between the two countries, which have never signed a treaty ending their World War II hostilities with each other. Responding, Uno expressed his concern over the Soviet military buildup in East Asia and called for a reduction of forces to promote regional security. Uno called on Shevardnadze to disclose detailed figures on Soviet naval strength in Asian waters. In response, Shevardnadze expressed willingness to announce the figures and stressed the importance of holding a conference on arms reduction in the Asia-Pacific area. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Tokyo.
This is presidential election day in Sri Lanka, and it's a bloody one. Leftist Sinhalese rebels stormed a polling station, killing at least 9 voters, wounding 18 others who defied death threats to cast their ballots. The BBC's Chris Nuttall reports the public has largely ignored a boycott call by the People's Liberation Front.
It's threatened election officers. It's tried to burn polling cards. It's attacked post offices. It's told voters that they shouldn't come out and vote. It's imposed its own 24-hour shoot-on-site curfew today. And so, in that light, it's very surprising that people are turning out in what seems like large numbers. In Colombo, at many polling booths, the turnout was over 60%.
Final election results not expected until tomorrow. The Indian national anthem being played in Beijing's Great Hall of the People as Rajiv Gandhi was welcomed as the first Indian leader to visit China in some 38 years. He and Chinese leaders spent most of their first day discussing their troubled border between the two world's two most populous nations over which they went to war in 1962. An official Chinese youth magazine reports today that Mao Zedong's widow, Jiang Qing, has been freed from jail and is being treated for throat cancer at a Beijing hospital. She was tried and sentenced to death, commuted to life in prison, for counter-revolutionary activity and was blamed for some of the worst excesses of the 10-year Cultural Revolution. A pair of overnight bomb blasts at a hostel for immigrant workers near Nice, France, killed one Romanian man and injured 10 Tunisians. There's been no claim of responsibility, but after a similar bombing last May, an anti-immigrant group called the National Movement Against the Maghreb Invasion said it had planted that device. Yesterday in Northern Ireland, the IRA claimed it was behind a car bomb attack that damaged 100 homes in Londonderry in a neighborhood where about 60 British Army families live. The IRA gave a 20-minute warning, but one disabled boy and his mother were caught in the bombing. They were treated for shock. 6:30 past the hour.
This is Super Handyman Al Carroll for the Home Depot. Holiday company's on the way, and you still haven't finished your holiday projects. Don't panic. Come to the Home Depot and pick up those last-minute home improvement and home decorating touches from a huge selection of name-brand project supplies. Over 30,000 different items, all at low Home Depot warehouse prices. Guaranteed to save you big bucks, day in, day out. Just listen.
Add a decorator look to your home in minutes with beautiful Dorfile glass shelving. Elegant and easy to install, Dorfile glass shelves seem to float thanks to Dorfile's disappearing brackets. Available in white or brass, perfect for your kitchen or bath. Or check out the huge assortment of Dorfile vinyl laminate shelving in white, pecan, and walnut. Find them Home Depot warehouse price day in, day out.
Or why not give your do-it-yourselfer a choice with a Home Depot gift certificate? Remember, Home Depot is open to the public. No cards, no memberships. Find that perfect gift for your do-it-yourselfer for less. Season's greetings from your friends at Home Depot.
The British conglomerate Grand Metropolitan PLC has won its 2.5-month battle to acquire Minneapolis-based Pillsbury, home of the Jolly Green Giant, Burger King, and the Chubby Doughboy. As Bruce Hagovic reports from affiliate WCCO, the battle ended after Pillsbury's poison pill defenses fizzled in court.
After spending an estimated $60 million trying to stop it, Pillsbury agreed to a buyout by Grand Met for $5.68 billion. Food industry analyst Stephen Karn says while some top Pillsbury executives may not survive, the effects won't be all bad.
I think that there probably will be a positive change to the American consumer because I think Pillsbury will become more aggressive again in new product development. I think their advertising and sales promotional effort will be picked up, and I think that it'll just be more prevalent to the consumer in the grocery store.
Karn says the key to the merger is Pillsbury was running out of defenses, having lost several important court battles last week. Now, the company founded as a single flour mill 119 years ago is being turned over to the British. Bruce Hagovic for CBS News, Minneapolis.
In state capitals across the nation today, presidential electors are casting ballots for George Bush or Michael Dukakis. Mr. Bush won 426 electoral votes to just 112 for Dukakis, and give or take a faithless elector or two, that should be the result at day's end. On January 4th, Vice President Bush, as president of the Senate, will open the ballots and formally declare himself the president-elect. In about an hour, Mr. Bush is expected to announce New York Congressman Jack Kemp as his choice for Housing and Urban Development Secretary. About 375 employees of the government-owned Fernald, Ohio plant that processes uranium for nuclear weapons are returning to work today after voting to end their 10-week strike. But first, they'll attend special safety seminars. In San Francisco last night, a group of homosexual Roman Catholics and their supporters sang and prayed as they marched to protest their eviction from St. Boniface Church, the last parish church in any major U.S. city in which they were allowed to meet. The eviction brought about by their refusal to endorse church teaching that homosexuality is immoral. The dollar is lower against all European currencies except the French franc. London gold prices up $1.40. And on Wall Street to this hour, the Dow Industrial Average is off a fraction at 2149.82, volume 22,100,000 shares. 10 past 7.
To fully appreciate the superb handling and stirring performance of Lincoln Mark 7 LSC, performance that prompted the British magazine Car to dub it the only serious U.S.-made alternative to imports such as the 6 Series BMW, the makers of Mark 7 urge you to drive one. To fully appreciate the comfort of the twin leather bucket seats in the ergonomically and aesthetically designed interior, we urge you to sit in one. And to fully appreciate the confidence and extraordinary control you'll experience with Mark 7's anti-lock braking system, we urge you to stop one. Of course, to fully appreciate Mark 7 in total, you have to take a simple initial step before any of the others. See one. Then you'll see why Mark 7 is one reason thousands upon thousands of Cadillac owners are switching to Lincoln. Visit your Southern California Lincoln Mercury dealer and experience the Lincoln Mark 7 LSC. Lincoln, what a luxury car should be.